Let us pray. God of life, in this sometimes dark world, we seek you, our light, our sun, our dawn. We open the eye of our hearts in the morning sun. Rise upon us, speak your word to us, and awaken us to your new day with the voice of Christ and the warmth of your spirit. Amen. The Old Testament reading is a reading from Isaiah, somewhere in Isaiah. Isaiah 58, 1 through 10. Day after day, my people seek me and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that practiced righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask of me righteous judgments. They delight to draw near to God. They ask, why do we fast, but you do not see? Why humble ourselves, but you do not notice? Look, you serve your own interests on your fast day and oppress all of your workers. Look, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to strike with a wicked fist. Such fasting as you do today will not make your voice heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose, a day to humble oneself? Is it to bow down the head like a bulrush and to lie in sackcloth and ashes? Will you call this a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? It is not this fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke. It is not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house. When you see the naked, to cover them, and not to hide yourself from your own kin. Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicator shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and God will say, here I am. If you remove the yoke from among you, he pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil. If you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness, and your gloom will be like noonday. The word of life. The New Testament reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. When I came to you, brothers and sisters, I did not come proclaiming the mystery of God to you in lofty words or wisdom. All I know for sure is Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I came to you in weakness and in fear and trepidation. My argument didn't rest on philosophical wisdom, but it arose from the Spirit's power, so that your faith might rest not on human wisdom, but on the power of God. Yet to those who are spiritually mature, there is a kind of wisdom we can speak of, though it is not what the world thinks is wisdom, and certainly not the powerful people. They don't know a thing about life. But we speak of God's wisdom, secret and hidden, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, no eye has seen, nor ear heard, no, it hasn't even dawned on us what the Holy One has prepared for those who love God. But God has revealed these things to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit knows everything, even the depths of God. The Word of God for the people of God.
Listen for the living Word of God. As you hear the good news from Matthew's Gospel in the fifth chapter, Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. If salt has lost its saltiness, then what good would it be? You'd throw it out and it would get trampled underfoot. You are light for the world. A city built on a hill can't be hidden. Nobody lights a lamp and then puts it under a bushel basket. No, you set it out on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. Let your light so shine that others may see by the light of your good works and glorify God in heaven. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Thanks be to God.
When Jesus says to shine your light, he partly means your good works. But something more profound than that. Because if indeed in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was love, and all things came into being through that Word, and what came into being was life that is the light of all people, then your light isn't just what you do or how you behave, it's who you are. It's your being. There's something about you being alive that gives light in this world. And Jesus asks us to shine that light, to be the people God creates us to be. Each of us, of course, shines in a different way. The light takes on a form in each of us. The Spirit lives in each of us in different ways. So there is a little bit of discerning that each one of us has to do about how is that love that creates me in my life. If we are created in love, and yet each one of us has different lives, how is God's love in my life? And how do I shine with that light? What's my calling? What am I here to do? And each one of us has a little different calling. And I can't tell you what yours is. In fact, you probably can't even tell you what yours is. Only God can tell you. So you really have to listen. I've been thinking a lot about this lately, about call, about God calling us to be who God creates us to be and to live in the way God calls us to live. And sometimes that call is a vocation, like Steve going to the ministry, but not really very often. And even when it is, it's very seldom spoken in so many words. Much more profound is the call to be the person that you be and how you be that way. I bet you know people that you just immediately think, what a gentle person. What a forgiving soul. What courage. You know, there's these ways in which the light shines from different people in different ways. So Jesus is inviting you to discern, how does that light shine in me? As I think about that over the last few weeks in my own life, I'm beginning to hear something about listening. I don't know exactly what, but it's about listening, deep listening, and helping others to listen. I need to keep listening to that call. I talk about it with other people, and I hear them wrestle with that. One person said, you know, I was abused as a child. And I think my life's work is to forgive my parents. And he said, here's the puzzle. I'm not sure whether God gave me all those people in the world to practice forgiveness on so that I could forgive my parents, or maybe God gave me my parents to practice so that I could forgive all the people in the world. But I know that that's my job. That's my calling. That was striking. I talked with somebody, I've been talking with people in this church about that, and one person who said, I feel like I really come alive when I am working in justice ministries and not just fundraising, but actually working with the poor and the marginalized, because I make this connection with them that changes me, and that's what makes me alive. So for her, it was sort of a real specific ministry. I talked with one person just last week and asked her, and she said, oh, I know what my calling is. It's to save the earth. I'm going to help people be good stewards of creation. It was that clear. Jesus invites us to think about how it is that God's love wants to shine out of our lives, and they will all be different. But I know that when we are in tune with that, in harmony with that truth, our lives take on a kind of power and beauty that change the world. And Jesus is not only asking us as individuals, he's asking us as a congregation. Jesus says, so St. Matthew's, it's the love of God that created you. So now, how are you going to shine with that light in this world? Nobody starts a church and then puts it under a bushel basket. You put it out on a lampstand so that it shines its light to everybody in the community. I think that's what Jesus meant when he said, all in the house. He meant everybody, and the house doesn't mean a building. So here's a question. How do we shine our light outside this building? I mean actually, not just in our heads. So what is this church's calling? What's our vocation? A lot of people say to me, we're a friendly and inviting congregation, all right? How many people have you invited to church? That's how inviting we are. I want you to get serious about shining the light outside this building. What is that? Is it inviting people? Well, then invite them. I've heard some people say, what I really love about St. Matthew's is that it was a safe place for me to really wrestle with my faith. I walked in these doors with a faith that was sort of old and rusty and not working very well for me. And I wasn't quite sure, this is a wild paraphrase of two or three different people, I wasn't quite sure if when I came in here I would be told, no, you've got it wrong, here's the right kind of faith that will work for you, or if I would be given a chance to really examine my faith that comes from my heart and come to a place where I'm in harmony with that and can live out what I believe. And that's what I found here. If that's the case, then we need to do that on purpose and not put that under a bushel. We need to be having two or three adult Sunday school classes, and we need to have six or eight weekday small groups. That's how you shine the light out and don't just put it under a bushel. Jesus is not talking about sort of walking around feeling light. He's talking about how we actually live. I remember hearing a story long before I ever moved to New England. And now I've been looking around to see which church or seminary was it. The story that I heard is that long ago in 1973, during the big energy crisis, everybody was finally figuring out that it makes sense to turn off lights. And there was a seminary, I think I heard, maybe it was a church, with a big, huge neon cross. Ugly thing. And they turned it on every night, all night long. And there it was. And during the energy crisis, they thought, you know, we could save some energy and turn that cross off. So they decided not to turn the light on. The very next day, they got a phone call from Logan International Airport saying, turn that cross back on. Our pilots use it as a reference point when they make that turn to land. We need that light. St. Matthew's United Methodist Church shines with a light that's important to people that we don't even know about. And how sad would it be if we didn't turn the light on? In the next hour, we're going to have a congregational meeting, and part of what we're going to do is begin the conversation to talk out loud on purpose over and over with each other and keep asking that question. So what's our light? What's the light we need to turn on? What are we called to do in this world? Where are we called to shine that light? Is there hurt that we are called to bring healing to? Is there poverty or injustice? Is there racism that we feel called to do something about? Or does that light pretty much stay in here? And my guess is that whatever it is that our light is together will have something to do with what each of our lights are as individuals. Where is God's love alive in your life? How has God loved you? Where is that love overflowing? Pay attention to that. And then as we get together and talk about that, where is all of that love overflowing with all of us that grows into some big kind of thing? You know that a lighthouse that shines that light way out over the ocean, that saves lives, that helps people guide themselves to safety, it's not a different kind of light than is in a little tiny flashlight. It's just more of it, that's all. We have this light of God in us. And I will be so sad if we put that light under a bushel. The light is shining, begging to burst out into our communities, into the world. But we're the ones that have to choose how we channel that light, how we put a lens in front of that light, how we open the lighthouse doors and shine that light, how we carry that light out of this building. You are the light of the world. Nobody lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. You put it on a lampstand so that it gives light to everybody around. Let your light so shine that others may see and glorify God. Will you pray with me? God, we thank you for your light shining in us. Help us to discern and to shine with your love. God of grace, we thank you for your love. And we pray for the faith to receive your blessings, to be mindful of your presence, and to listen for your voice, and for the courage to trust your deep desire for us, surrendering everything to your love, to live in harmony with your grace. Amen.